Greetings and welcome to Sakura Scholars. I'm Mark Marin, and today I'm recording from the lobby of NSG Square, which is home of five of our 29 colleges. And so in the background, you'll hear a lot of different kinds of noises, but that's okay. This is just the way it is. This is the way our school works, and you'll get a nice feeling of the busyness that happens around our school. Today, what I want to do is talk about some facts about Niigata Prefecture and Niigata City in particular, and just give you, just general knowledge about what's happening here and where Niigata is and what is Niigata in essence. So first of all, let's start with Niigata Prefecture. Niigata Prefecture, or it's like the state of Niigata for those who are in America, or the province if you're in Canada, but Niigata Prefecture is located on the northwest coast of Honshu Island, which is the biggest island of the Japan archipelago. It's famous, Niigata Prefecture, for its high-quality rice, the Koshihikari, its beautiful coastline and mountain scenes. It's also got some of the greatest fireworks displays in summer, great skiing in winter in the heavy snow of our mountains, and there's lots of hot springs, onsens, and you can bathe in an onsen all year round from the sea to the mountains. And the capital city of Niigata Prefecture is Niigata City. Now, Niigata City, as the capital, faces the Sea of Japan. It's on the coast, and across from the Sea of Japan, you can see Sado Island. And Sado Island is also part of Niigata Prefecture. Niigata is a very captivating city in Japan, and it's renowned, of course, for its natural beauty and the cultural heritage and, its great food, because it's right on the coast. We got a lot of fresh fish. It is the most populous city on the west coast of Honshu, and it is the second most populous city in the Chubu region, or the central region of Japan. Nagoya is the largest of the central region of Japan. And by the way, Niigata City is the only government-designated city on the coast of Honshu. So this is actually a very important city, just along the same lines as Nagoya or Tokyo or Osaka. And it has the greatest habitable area of cities in Japan. There is so much land in Niigata City where you can live and have a garden, a farm, whatever. But Niigata City is that kind of city. Now, let's talk a little bit about the geography of Niigata. Niigata is a very unique geographical makeup. Niigata is situated on a fertile coastal plain of the Sea of Japan, as I said. But two of the main or largest rivers in Japan dump into this area, the Shinano River and the Agano River. Both of these rivers flow and end into the Niigata Plain. And it has created this large area of wetlands, Fukushima Gata, which is a very large protected wetland, and the Sakata Lagoon, another registered, actually in a culturally important lagoon that's here in Niigata. Because Niigata City is on the sea, it has a very low elevation, and there's a large flat plain below the mountains here. So we get lots of water, and there's lots of the two main rivers, but there are lots of small tributaries of those rivers that flow into this area. Niigata, many years ago, was called a city of water, a Mizuno Miyako, because of the two rivers that flowed into it and its position on the Sea of Japan. The water is very important in Niigata, and it has, like I said, the wetlands, but it also, Niigata City used to have many canals that flowed through the city that made it easy for you to transport goods throughout the city. Along these canals, there were a lot of trees that were planted, and these trees are willow trees or weeping willow trees. And another nickname for this, for Niigata City, was the City of Willows, or Yanagi no Miyako. Because of the willow trees that line the old canals, this is a Gyuto area. Now, in recent years, the city has been promoting itself as a designated city of food and flowers. Because of its location, the abundance of rice, the Japan sea coast, and the abundance of fish, and also because of these flat lands that have very fertile soil, we have lots of different kinds of flowers festivals in Niigata Prefecture. The city itself hosts a major tulip festival and an iris festival, and we have lots of food festivals, international and local food festivals. So Niigata City is a city of food and flowers. Let's talk a little bit about the climate. To have all this water and all these fertile land areas and lots of crops that grew up here and the great rice, Niigata basically has to have a very controlled weather system. And it actually is a very predictable weather system. Niigata City features, it's kind of a humid subtropical climate area, which is subtropical. So it does get hot, but it actually receives more snowfall than cities such as Moscow or Montreal or Oslo. Actually, Niigata has a great amount of snow. And we have a lot of mountains here. The Japan seaside of the Japanese Alps are full of mountains and ski resorts, and we get very strong, heavy winds that blow through here across China and Korea and Russia, or Mongolia. We get these heavy winds that bring in heavy rains, and that turns into heavy snow in the winter. But in the summer and in the fall, we do get heavy rains. With the heavy snow and the heavy rains and the two large river systems and all the tributaries off those river systems, Niigata has tons of great soil and area for rice and for crops. And the weather of Niigata is actually very predictable. Niigata City receives a lot of rain, mostly about 269 days of precipitation, if you want to count it that way. But 170 days of that is rain or snowfall that's at least over a millimeter thick. So it's actually, when it rains here, it's not a light rain. It rains a substantial amount. Rainy season is usually in July, and we get lots of rain, and that brings in the hot weather right after that. The winter months, especially November, December, will have lots of rain that was actually in the mountains will become snow. And as I said, we get lots of winds that come in through the summer and into the typhoon season of Japan, which runs through the late summer through the fall. Now, we don't get typhoons very often in Niigata, or if we do, they're not as strong as a major typhoon. But the typhoons do bring the fen phenomena, the fen winds, to this area. And what happens because of the fen winds is it gets really hot here. Now, let's talk about a little bit about the name Niigata. Now, if you look at it in Romaji, in Roman letters, it's N-I-I-G-A-T-A. Very difficult to pronounce for a lot of people, you know, Niigata or Niigata, but Niigata. And what you do in Japanese is the E sound, you have to pronounce, you have two I's, and those are pronounced with an E sound, so you have to double it. So, Niigata. That's the name of the city. But actually, in the Romanized letters, it's actually two kanji. The ni-i means new, atarashi, new. And the gata means lagoon. So the name of this city is actually New Lagoon. The problem is we have no idea why it was called New Lagoon. The first recorded incidence of the word Niigata was in 1520. So that's quite a long time ago. There weren't many people living here at that time, but they called this area Niigata. There are four reasons that or hypotheses, I'm going to say, that people have come up with. The first one is Niigata was actually, like I said before, a large lagoon area. It was a wetlands, and it was at the base of the Shinano River, which was and still is the largest river in Japan. So this area was a dumping area, a wetlands area, and it was a big lagoon is what it was. And so this is the new lagoon because the fresh water and the snow melts every year creates this new lagoon. That's one reason. The second reason is that, and the Shinanogawa, the Agano River and the Shinano River both end at the sea in this lagoon area. And so they think it created this bay. It looked like a lagoon. So they called it a new lagoon, maybe. Another reason is that actually there's an island that's created in the middle of these rivers and this river basin, the wetland basin, and within an estuary kind of area. And that island, which is now Bandai City Island, that was an area that was inhabited with a village. And that village was called Niigata. So maybe they think they just applied the name of the village to the whole area. Or another one, there was another settlement on the other side of that island in the area where our school is located, which is Fudumachi. Fudumachi means old town. And in this old town, they had a place called Niigata, and they just applied the name. Whatever the reason is, Niigata is kind of a unusual name in Japanese, but it does reflect what's actually here. This is a wetlands, a basin area where two major rivers end and dump the great soil for great foods. Now, the history of Niigata, outside of the name, as I said, was about, 1520 was the first written record of the name, but actually the city itself of Niigata was not incorporated until April 1st of 1889, which is what we call Meiji 22, the 22nd year of the Meiji Emperor. But Niigata City or Niigata area had existed well before that. It was a port town. It was on the two rivers. It was an easy place to bring the rice and to ship it out from here. The shipping routes would go to Sado Island, which is across the Japan Sea, or up the coast north towards Sakata, which is in Yamagata Prefecture, or Akita, which is even farther up, or even to Sapporo, Hakodate in Sapporo, or going the opposite direction, going south towards Fukui or Toyama, or even down even as far as Kyoto. So Niigata was known during those times as a port city. And then in 1889, they decided to designate Niigata as one of the five treaty ports. This is, I think I mentioned this in a podcast before, but the treaty of 1858 happened. And because of Admiral Perry in the United States had sent a warship over here, parked their warship just outside of Yokohama and said, open up or we're going to open up Japan for trade and business. And okay, so Japan said, well, okay, I guess we'll have to do something. So they signed a treaty in 1858 with the United States, a treaty which is called the Treaty of Amity and Commerce. And that was just before the restoration of the government, or the Meiji Restoration. This was done with the Edo government. And then in 1869, this treaty started in full operation, and in the five major ports was Hakodate, Nagasaki, Kobe, Yokohama, and Niigata. So since 1869, it has been important as one of the major ports of Japan and of its growth from the feudal Japanese traditions that had existed up until 1869 to the modern Japan of today. The government of Niigata was established 20 years later in 1889. Just to jump ahead, basically, Niigata grew as a city over time, and they reworked the waterworks, the Shinano River and the Gano River, and they made all these different kinds of flood control areas to control the areas in the wetlands. And the area that's Niigata City today is kind of like reclaimed land and has been built up around there. The reclaimed land area of Niigata included filling in all the canals that used to exist here. That was completed in the late 1950s, early 1960s. I don't want to say it this way, but there was an earthquake in 1964 that destroyed a lot of the old town of Niigata, the downtown by the seacoast. Because of that, a lot of things were deconstructed and reconstructed and rebuilt in Niigata City since 1964 has been built on more solid ground here in the estuary area of Niigata. And another major thing that happened, which was in 2005, Niigata City started to annex different smaller communities that were outside of the Niigata City proper, and that enabled the city to its population to jump to over 800,000 at the time, and it's close to 1 million today. In 2007, the national government designated Niigata City as a what they call a first government designated city, which means it's a city on the same level and the same treatment and same tax base and rate and whatever as like Tokyo or Osaka or Nagoya, all the major cities that you think about when you think of Japan. On the Japan seaside, there is only one, and that's Niigata. So this is the center of growth and culture and development on the Sea of Japan side. The reason why I wanted to explain a little bit about Niigata and its, a little bit of history and its geography and its makeup is basically that is a great reason for people to come to Niigata to live, to grow, develop. And if for those of you that I'm specifically targeting here, those of you who want to learn Japanese language, Niigata is probably one of the best choices that you can make to learn Japanese. Now, why? Well, there are many reasons, but, you know, basically the what I've just told you about the history of Niigata and its development, it is a center of Japanese culture that is more traditional. Tokyo is, of course, the biggest city in the world. It's one of the greatest cities in the world, and it has everything. Tokyo has everything, but also Tokyo is not really Japanese culture as you think about it. Tokyo is a modern city. It's more like London or New York or Paris or all the great cities, but it doesn't have a lot of the ancient and old cultures, and it doesn't have, it might have a lot of shrines and temples and those things, but it doesn't have that community culture. If you come to Niigata, you're going to be in a city that allows you, if you're studying Japanese, it allows you to interact with more native Japanese speakers on a daily basis. Going to Tokyo, you're going to you're going to be surrounded by Japanese people, but many people in Tokyo know English or know French or know German. They'll see you and they'll talk to you in your native language. That's how Tokyo business is. It's more of an international city that allows you to be comfortable there. Coming to Niigata now, I'm not saying that people in Niigata don't know English. Here, the first reaction is always Japanese. They will talk to you in Japanese. They will guide you in Japanese. And even if they don't, if you don't know your Japanese, they will help you and they will help you go and learn things and they'll show you in Japanese. Even though you might not understand them 100%, you will be able to work with them and get to go through your daily life in Niigata using Japanese. And that will help your pronunciation, your fluency, and your overall language skills in real-life conversations. And that's important. Also, because Niigata is not as big a city as Nagoya or Osaka or Tokyo, it offers a nice cultural experience that is very, very, how would you say, not narrow, but very intimate. You can go see beautiful shrines and parks and old places here, and you will get help and you'll be able to apply your language skills that you're learning here at these kinds of facilities. You'll be able to learn about the culture of Japan, the history of Japan, and see it from a different aspect. Not necessarily of war or of battles of samurai and ninjas and those kind of things, even though that's cool. No, you're going to see Japanese from a farmer's point of view, from the tradesman point of view, from the sailor's point of view, from the people who work and deal with living more manually, more down to earth. And that gives you a completely different style, a different experience, and a different cultural appreciation. And also, Niigata is well known for its linguistic diversity. Of course, you're going to be able to meet different people from different parts of the world who are studying Japanese or who live here. There are many Russians, Koreans, and Chinese, Cambodians, Vietnamese who live here in Niigata City. But Niigata has its own dialect of Japanese. You can actually learn two or three different kinds of dialects that exist here, and they are very strong, and actually that gives you a great cultural experience. Tokyo has its dialects, but it's more of a pronunciation as opposed to Osaka. But here in Niigata, we actually have a form of language, what we call Niigata Ben, a Niigata dialect that is actually a very, very old form of Japanese that still exists and people still speak here on a daily basis. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to learn something different that you wouldn't get in a larger city. Also, you will be able to have, like I said before, since the city is more intimate, it's more compact here, and the population is not so big, you actually have a lot of local community support. Many people will be here to help you. And Niigata, and I've been here 32 years, Niigata is very warm and friendly. The community welcomes international people. They've always provided a great network. We have community centers and friendship associations that help develop the culture and present the culture to foreign guests and to people who are living here. And since I've been here 32 years, I mean, it's been great. I've been able to get help whenever I need in my native language, if I needed it. But even in Japanese, I can get a great help. since it's a smaller city and it's not located in Tokyo, the cost of living here is so cheap. You could buy houses here. You could buy a car here. You can have an apartment for a third of the cost that you would pay in a larger city like Osaka or Tokyo. Really, Niigata has a very affordable cost of living here. You need to have a place that's comfortable, easy to live, easy to get around, and not cost you a lot of money. And that is Niigata. Of course, you can make a high salary here if you have the right job, but really, people who are just studying language, just starting out, this is the best place to start. You could start here in Niigata, learn about Japan, learn about the culture, and then once you get comfortable and confident and develop your skills, boom, you move on to other places around Japan and make your fortune. Or stay here, like I have, and make your fortune here. Now, there's two other things that I want to mention about Niigata. One is, since Niigata has great water, that means it has great food, and we've already said that, great rice. What else do you make with rice? Well, here in Niigata, they pride themselves of having great sake. I don't know if you like sake, Japanese rice wine. It is so good here. Now, I, for those of you who are under 21, or under drinking age, I don't want to recommend that to you right now. But if you stay here as long as I have, you grow to appreciate the sake. Oh, also, Niigata is now the number one prefecture in Japan for craft beer, for the brew pub kind of beer. And we have so many different brew pubs now in Niigata prefecture. And they all take advantage of that quality rice and the abundance of quality, clean water. It's great here. So if you like beer and sake, it's a good place to come. It's a good place to come. The last thing, and actually I don't want to say the last thing, but actually the cherry on top of all this, Niigata is a very unique place. So what I like about Niigata is, as I've said before, it is a place that gets lots of rain, it gets lots of snow, it gets very hot, it gets very cold, it gets very cool and calm, it has great flowers, it's got everything. You've got beautiful natural landscapes here. You have the big wide plains. You have the lagoons, the wetlands that are in abundance. You have hot springs everywhere. You have the Japan Sea coastline. Some of it is beautiful beaches. Some of it is rocky and craggy, has beautiful views for sunset views here. You could really get close to nature in Niigata. You're in Niigata City, but you're only 5 to 10 minute car ride from beautiful nature. And actually, if you're at the school where I'm at right now in my building, 10 minutes will put you on the Japan Sea Coast. You could be sitting on the beach after class every day here. It's great here. And actually, I think that's what's kept me sane here. If I lived 32 years in Tokyo, I might have gone crazy. But here, I could take a break from everything. I could just take a drive or a walk or a bus ride or a train ride, and I can be in the countryside looking at fields of rice and looking at the mountains, looking at beautiful flowers, enjoying the sea. And in the evening here, especially now through the summer, you have beautiful sunsets on the Nihonkai, and it's just great. You could go to the beach, sit down at 6 o'clock, have a beer at one of the little beach houses, and sit down and enjoy the sunset. What a great way to enjoy Niigata. This is what I've always wanted to do. This is what I've always wanted in my life, is to have a place where I can live and enjoy, earn a living, and relax. Niigata was the place for me, and it could be the place for you. I want to wrap this up now. This has been, I've been talking too long, and I don't know if you kept up with everything, but if you haven't, go ahead, listen back and check it out. If you have any questions, about Niigata, about the area, the food, the rice, the beer, the mountains, the snow, the hot springs, whatever, drop me a message, at our email here. I want you to email me directly and we'll get this. My name is Mark Marin, mark.marin@nsg.gr.jp. That's mark.marin@nsg.gr.jp. sakura.jp. Drop me a line. Drop me a personal line, and I'll get to it, and then I can answer your questions, and then I'll put it on the next podcast. I want to hear from anybody who hears this and share this. If you hear it and you say, hey, that's interesting, go ahead, share it with somebody. Tell them about it. This is Sakura Scholars. I'm Mark Marin. Thank you very much from Niigata, Japan. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye and sayonara.